compared to all the other subject exams, I used to be like, you know, very serious about the drawing exams. Everything, like just speaking in Tibetan is itself is an, I think, a resistance that we are doing. One thing that I found similar in all these schools were like, you know, a lot of them had, I think they are very well aware of what is happening inside Tibet, particularly on the topic of this one, career, boarding school system inside Tibet, you know, imagination, your kind of dreamings, these things, these are the things that you cannot control by the boundary or anything like that. We started our collective and we named it Kadok. Kadok literally means colors in Tibet. This, one of the sole purpose of art is to create these debates, right? Mm. There is a good, very great scene that is happening inside Tibet also. Mm. Like a lot of great, I would say emerging artists who are doing incredible works. During my childhood time, my father was giving me this tanga, you know, drawing guidebooks. Art is the best kind of like, you know, I would say, so it's like a political thing, I could say. It might be the best strategy to use, you know, thing to get back our country.
Unsilenced Voices of Young Tibetans is a podcast presented by the Foundation for Nonviolent Alternatives, where young Tibetans share their personal stories, experiences, opinions, and journey in exile.
Tishtile, namaste, and welcome to FNVA's podcast, Unsilenced Voices of Young Tibetans. Today, we have with us a co-founder of the Tibetan Artist Collective, known as Kadok, that aims to provide and nurture young Tibetan artists. They have done exhibitions in Dharamsala, most recently being the Dreaming Tibet exhibition. He has furthermore done several artwork for different young Tibetan artists and singers, notably Ritala. And I also had the pleasure of working with him during the Future of Tibet conference at Dharamsala last year. Welcome to our show, Tashnimala.
Thank you so much. It's my honor.
So, Tashnimala, could you first tell us how you got into art and artwork in the first place? Because, like, I myself growing up, I like to draw. Mm-hmm. I had some certain inclination towards drawing portrait, but it couldn't go more than that. So what's your take on it?
Okay. So before answering his first question, I myself want to say thank you to his organization, FNBA, for giving me and my trying to be a collective member to, you know, give a platform to talk about myself and my own collective also. I think in future also we might get more chances like this. So, okay. First question was like my own artistic journey. Like, so I think from my early age, I was very much into art, and my family, you know, they my father, he was a tailor, and my mother, she used to make pangde, a Tibetan, you know, apron for like our traditional dress, right? So even though they both were like from Tibet and came to exile and still struggling with their financial stuff, but they would never hesitate to spend money on my drawing endeavors, where they would support me with whatever they have, you know, ability they have. And this, I think, really motivated me to do what I really loved. And I still remember, you know, during my school time also, compared to all the other subject exams, I used to be like, you know, very serious about the drawing exams, even though I didn't have any other friends who would be that serious in the drawing, you know, exams. But I was the one who used to be very serious about it. I used to practice it. I used to study about it. And, you know, and plus my parents also, just like I told you, with even though they had like a financial problem, they would still buy me a lot of art tools, like money, drawing guidebooks, which really helped me, you know. And I think my parents, my families, they are like a biggest supporter for me to do my works. And I think in a way, because of their dedication towards trying to give a better life to their children, that really motivated me to to express my feelings, to express theirs, mine, you know, our culture to the world.
So two things that really, you know, like hit me when you gave your answer here was like how family plays a very important role. And on top of this, your own passion. You know, like, I mean, we both were from TCV and, you know, for us, arts subject, for that matter, drawing was like an extracurricular activity.
Yeah.
It was nothing serious, but seeing you take it very serious, it's very interesting. So moving on, Tashnimara, art and resistance of late has become a theme, you know, like it has been explored since times immemorial. We had the Medici's, like everything was there. But of late, it's been coming more and more. And as Tibetans ourselves, you know, like art is a form of resistance against the Chinese occupation.
Yes.
Your own Khato Collective's own recent exhibition, Dreaming Tibet, like I could not attend it because it was held in Dharamsala. But seeing the visuals, the videos, like I could get the strong essence of that resistance was there, even among the Tibetan children doing these small drawings.
Yes,
so what is your take on all this?
From what you have said already, like, you know, art and resistance, they have been together, like, from our history also, we can see all this resistant art and resistance. And I think, you know, personally, when I was doing this Dreaming Tibet, Dreaming Tibet project, I really realized, like, you know, as a Tibetan, living in an exile, and plus, I think whatever you create, you know, as being a Tibetan exile, and I think it becomes like a art form, which is like resisting the power, which is trying to erase, which is like PRC, right? People's Republic of China, who is trying to erase our identity, culture, tradition, whatever they are trying to do, and here we are trying to revive those things, or what to say, to stop that erasure that they are trying to get. And us expressing, not only doing arts, or also I think everything, like just speaking in Tibetan is itself is an, I think, a resistance that we are doing. Maybe, you know, on a street level also, you know, selling a laughing might be also, I think, is a resistance that we are doing here. Like, you know, and with our Dreaming Tibet project, I really felt that, you know, it was like a act where we were telling Chinese government, like, you know, we are still not forgetting about Tibet, you know, we still have this in our mind and we will work on it, and our younger generation are also into it and they will also not forget that easily, because other things you might be able to control, right? But imagination, your kind of dreamings, these are the things that you cannot control by the boundary or anything like that. And in a way, yeah, the project went really successful, and a lot of, you know, students were like, I think, and a lot of not only students, but then I think a lot of adults were also very much surprised by the younger generation's expression towards their expression towards their not being inside Tibet, but still, you know, having this knowledge of what is happening inside Tibet. Yeah, the project was really successful. And I hope in future also we might, you know, able to continue this kind of, you know, projects.
So talking on Dreaming Tibet project, like you visited a certain school was taken up for this project, right? TCV Chontra, if I'm not wrong. So do you think that the children studying in TCV Chontra had an impact on their drawing, or them being a Tibetan itself made them draw such drawings?
I would say, like, you know, each school has like a different kind of environment. Like even though we had like a very low number of school participating, but still, you know, these five schools also have like a very different kind of expressions, how they are experiencing in exile, and you know, their expression was also different. Like the school that you named, TCV Chontra, they were like, I mean, creatively wise, art wise, they were really like very, I would say they had like, their level was like, compared to other schools, their levels were really good. And I think one thing that I found similar in all these schools were like, a lot of them had, I think they are very well aware of what is happening inside Tibet, particularly on the topic of this one, career, boarding school system inside Tibet, And I think they are very much connected to this topic, this, this boarding school thing, because they can feel it, right? They're also a school. They're also a school children. And I think they're really much able to connect with them. And I think that was a beautiful and sad part, with this project, Actually, before the project itself, I was thinking about, these kids will just draw, joyous people, happy mountain, happy animal, happy Tibetan. When we saw the result, it was like totally upside down, and we were really struck by these, variations of artworks that they have produced. It's like amazing.
Indeed, this is really inspiring to hear that even our younger Tibetan generation have not forgotten what has happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is very crucial, and in many ways, I believe this further connects us Tibetans, those who are under occupation, and those like us who are enjoying freedom right now. So moving on, Tishnimala, you and your colleagues founded Katok, Tibetan Artistic Collective. So what is the reason behind it, and what are the challenges and opportunities that you all have come across till now?
Leah, and Milik, and also Jimmy Chodak. We three are still working. Jimmy Chodak passed away last year. And I think our origin story was me and Jimmy Chota, we used to talk about having an art group where we can have all these Tibetan artists coming in a group where we can share our experiences, ideas about art, what is happening around the world, and what is happening around our community also, how we can, let our community engage with the art and let them have this more knowledge about art. So it was like a very small kind of thing that we were thinking inside our mind. But then, as life goes on, you just forget about these things, right? Then one day we had a plan to do a group exhibition. Me, Jigme Chora, and Milik, we had a plan to do an exhibition. But then, on the actual day of exhibition, before 2-3 days, JC passed away. So, with his sudden demise, we were really struck by it. And, we thought, now, if we are doing this exhibition, why not do it best as we can? to also, commemorate his works that he has left behind, and to show the people of our community and other peoples how Tibetan artists are doing their works, and how they are expressing their works, right? Yeah, and after that, when we were actually planning this exhibition, that time we realized, how we Tibetan artists don't have a platform to exhibit our works, right? So we saw this gap, and we were I was also personally going through it, and all my companions, my friends, whenever you go around, they will always say, we have lots of work, but where is the platform to showcase our work, right? Even if you go to this big exhibition spaces, they want to play the safe game. They don't want to deal with the political stuff, especially with the Tibetan political stuff. They don't see any advantages for them, right? So where they were not able to do that, we saw this thing as an opportunity for ourselves. We thought, why not just do it by ourselves, not waiting for them to give us a platform? Why not create it by ourselves? And what could go wrong with this, right? So we thought, why not? Let's do it, right? So with that, we started our collective, and we named it Katok. Katok literally means colors in Tibet. So with that, we started our Kadok, and I hope in future also we will do a lot more projects like this.
Jigme Chhatwal was also a classmate of mine in the sense that we were batchmates. Mm. You know, the work that he was doing, I was also observing it of late before his sudden demise. You know, like, he really left a mark in our exiled Tibetan community, and I believe Kathok is one of his legacy, and you all will carry it forward. You know, like, even your first exhibition was in memory of him, which was held in the former Tibet Museum in McLeodganj, right?
Yes.
So here, Tashnimala, you raised a very interesting point about how artwork, when it certain exhibitions, certain galleries, they tend to, how should I put it, they tend to shy away when it comes to political artwork. You know, like, but you had the opportunity during our Future of Tibet conference. You had Kesang Lamdala, Kama Sichula. So working with them, like, who have been working on political artwork, what did you gain and how do you see yourself in the coming years?
Before coming to this Future for Tibet, also before, during my artistic exploration time also, like, I was also very much struggling about, you know how art, art as a, what to say, if you want to make money through art, how you choose your certain kind of themes is also very much dependent, right? Like, you know, so, when I was going through that period of thinking which kind of work should I do, and meanwhile I was also exploring myself also, right? I was looking out for myself. I was thinking what kind of work that really, like, resonates me. I was doing everything. I was doing digital works. I was doing a lot of weird works also, like painting for my friends. Not only political stuff, but it just, I was just exploring myself.
Doing cover art for Rita also.
Yes, cover art for Rita. Like, just doing everything, right? But at the same time, I was also trying to my inner self, where I was like, you know, I have to express some of my authenticity through artworks, right? So that's when I realized, like, you know, me as a Tibetan artist who lives in exile, who has this opportunity, this freedom of doing artworks freely, whatever I can say, but still I'm thinking a lot of about doing a political artwork or not, right? This is kind of a thing that the Tibetans inside Tibet are not able to do freely, right? But here I am, don't have any restrictions from any so-called government or anything like that, but still I'm not doing it. So that really hit me, you know? So after that, and I was like, no, okay, I want to do more about, you know, our political stuff and talk more about it. And what better way to use my own artistic endeavors, right? So, and after that, I was like, okay, now I will do whatever I can for my art to talk about my situations about Tibet. And with the FOT also, when I met Kesang Lamda especially, Kama Sichula, I always knew him. Like, he really inspires me a lot also. Kesang Lamda also, they both, when we were talking with them, they were all actually had like a very great experience. You know, both individuals were really bold. And I felt like, you know, I was older than them. Like, the way they were taking their risks, the way they were really confident about their work. I think I liked everything about them. And it really motivated not only me, I think all my other participants, they were also really moved by these two, you know, individual, or senior artists. Yeah.
Indeed. And could you talk more about the artwork that you all produced, the lion bear?
A lot of controversies. Okay. In an artwork, maybe if you can show it somewhere, I don't know. In an artwork, you can see a snow lion, you know, a Tibetan mythical snow lion, which is being ridden by a girl. A lot of people say it's not a Tibetan girl because of her yellow blonde hair and her, body shapes. And, like, people were saying a lot of weird stuff, right? But, you know, I think, this painting didn't come out in 1 week or something like that. It was like a I think before our workshop period also, we had like a month or two discussions, sharing our ideas about what to paint, what we want to see through these works. And I mean, if you really think about it, you know, artists are like the very individualistic mind people. And to come under one group and trying to create one artwork is really difficult, you know, because individual artists have their own imaginations, way to express, you know. So to make it all come under one painting is really, this also is hard work to do, you know. So when we did this, and still when on the actual day of doing a painting also, we were still thinking about what we are trying to see, what we wanted to show. Then we realized when we saw the artworks also, we were like, you know, I think this is not a thing that we are showing about future. This is not the future. Instead, this is like a question that we as an individual artist are facing daily in our lives. Like I might be facing like, what is Tibetan? And how can you call someone a Tibetan? Does Tibetan has to be like a Tibetan inside Tibet? Then we are not Tibetans, right? And then you cannot deny the fact that a lot of Tibetans are outside of Tibet, India, a lot of exiles, foreign countries. They are also growing up. Like a lot of these mixed races are also being brought up. So you cannot deny all these things, right? So we were like, it was like a question that we were all facing, all individual artists. I mean, a lot of who have been growing up in exile, a lot of have their own families. So these are, I think, through this artworks, we were not showing the future. We were showing the questions that we might face during when we are going to the future, you know, something like that, I think.
Indeed, I think your answer, you know, will answer many of those doubters, not doubters in the sense like, I think people sort of started talking on it because I think they felt close to the artwork, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really like the, what to say, all these thoughts, I would say, debates that we have created, you know. I was getting a lot of responses from my close friends also. And I was like, whatever you guys think, you know, it's good because it was like one of the sole purpose of art is to create these debates, right? If it's not creating any debates, if it's not letting you think about something, then we are actually not doing a good work, you know, as an artist, I think. And I really like, even if someone is criticizing it, I would love it, you know. I'm always free about criticize. And I take it as a learning thing to for myself also.
Yeah, that shows that they have looked seriously in the artwork and your work. And going to another subject, like something that is personal to you. Like I initially met you during our college days, you know, at Delhi University, at the Tibetan Youth Hostel. So you and there were not only yourself, there were other Tibetans as well. I had a few of my friends also. You were going to art college in the university in Delhi itself. So what were your experience there? And, you know, are there any major takeaways that you felt through your studying experience here in Delhi?
I would say not directly related to college, but I would say, you know, when me and my four or five Tibetan friends, when we were looking out for college, problem that I felt like we were facing was like, you know, when you go to the college admissions, they will always ask you like, did you study art, art subject in your school time till 12? And which was like, with that question also, I was really surprised by it because in our school time, we didn't had any art subject, like, you know, especially after your fifth grade or something like that, right? After that, you don't get any chance to study art subject. I don't know, and I don't know who else. I don't think a lot of exile schools has this kind of subjects. till 12, right? So we were facing a lot of that problems. And I think during our college time also, when we started our college also, we were like very lacking in this kind of, you know, knowledge. And when you go to college, then it's like, you know, now you're studying a whole new subject. There are a lot of, you know, technicalities in the art itself also, like technicalities, practices, theories, that is like very new to you. Plus, also, you're experiencing this cultural, things that you have not been facing during your school times, right? During school times, you are just surrounded by Tibetan friends, Tibetan teachers, Tibetan staff. You are in this very, comfort zone of your, school, right? And then you are just, after your class 12, it's like you are just thrown to this kind of, you know, cultural diversity in Delhi, right? So it was like, you know, academic-wise, this was a problem. And I think outside of academic, I would say a little bit of identity crisis like that, you know. And as an artistic and think, I think, you know, not only from college also, I think from a lot of activities that me and my friends would do after the classes also, going to exhibition spaces, to going to festivals, art festivals, there are a lot of things that are happening in Delhi, right? If you really like to look around and see, you will find a lot of this kind of things happening around you, where you can learn a lot. And doing a lot of showing your artworks. These kind of things, you know, kind of like gives you confidence to show your artworks.
Indeed, and I don't want to throw names here, but I believe Namsila, a popular rapper now, he was one of your classmates.
Yes. Again, right?
So it's interesting to see what you have done after, you know, graduating. And if I'm not wrong, I believe you, as a collective during your college days, presented a beautiful mosaic art to His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
I think not to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, actually to our, that time we were staying at the Tibetan Youth Hostel, right? It was like, we didn't have any plan of gifting what we wanted to do after completing this book. It was just, I think, pure passion, you know? And I think because of maybe the young blood thing, you know, no plans, nothing. You don't have any. You don't have plan for any outcome. It was just like a pure passion thing. We were just a group of wild Tibetan, you know, college kids who wanted to create something but didn't know path. So it was like, yeah, but the artwork turned out really well, and it was like, we really thought, you know, we can do something good with it. We can gift it to His Holiness also. But it was like very heavy, so big. We didn't get any, buyers or anything like that. Then it was just left in our youth hostel, you know, and where now it is still being shown and all these things. I think now it's like a, gift from our collective to the Tibetan Youth Hostel.
So, Tesh Nimala, you brought this up when we were talking about Dreaming Lhasa, how, you know, like, even though...
Dreaming Tibet,
how I'm getting confused with the movie. There is a movie called Dreaming Lhasa, I believe. So, Dreaming Tibet, your exhibition, where young Tibetans in exile, you know, they have the same idea of what's happening and connecting with our brothers and sisters in Tibet. So, as a Tibetan artist yourself, individually, and Khatok as a collective, are we able to connect with Tibetans inside occupied Tibet? I mean, if not directly, through the artwork, because your art is being shared, even they are doing artwork.
Yes.
Is there some, you know, like hidden messages or like, you know, inspiration to each other?
Sure. I think unfortunately, you know, as a collective, we didn't get any, any remarks or feedbacks or anything like that from inside Tibet, especially, you know. But around the globe, other than Tibet, I think we are getting good responses. But I would say individual-wise, I mean, I'm also getting a lot of messages, plus good messages from some few artists that I know, you know. I will never say the names, but then, you know, they would say, like, you know, you guys are doing such an amazing work. And individual wise, we would always be like, you know, supporting each other, encouraging each other. I would see their work sometimes and I would tell them, your works are so amazing. And, you know, there is a very great scene that is happening inside Tibet also. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of great, I would say emerging artists who are doing incredible works. And I think they're also looking at us and we're also looking at them. In a way, we all are like inspiring each other, you know. And in a way, this is a very beautiful thing. Although they cannot say a lot of things because of their situations inside Tibet, right? And we kind of have this freedom to express it. And when they see our works, they are like really moved by it. They're like they really would compliment our works.
Through this, I'm remembering the late Pema Chidney's work. Even he was sort of sharing the idea that we Tibetans in the exile and the diaspora like do our work, improve. We are watching, you know, like
yes,
they are
yes.
watching. So it's really interesting to know that this connection is there. And I believe this will be forever, you know, because we are Tibetans at the end of the day, wherever we are. So this is something very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on, like, it's been almost 2 years, if I'm not wrong, since Katok as collective has come into
almost,
being.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you see yourself individually and Katok as a group doing in the coming years? And any projects that you want to announce, you know?
Individual-wise, I have my own projects that I am going through. For that matter, I don't really want to speak that much. Yeah. But then, you know, as a Katok, as our collective, I think this year we had like our main two projects. One was like Dreaming Tibet project, which was like a kind of like a engagement project that we wanted to do with our community, right? So it was specially focused on our grassroots level kind of engagement. So that's why we did it with the school children. Now the annual exhibition project, this is coming on 1st November.
Okay.
So it's like a month away from now. And where we are going to have like almost 20 Tibetan professional artists from different countries, not only in India. So we are going to showcase their works, and it's a project where we are trying to, as our Khadok's mission, we are trying to give them a platform to showcase their works. So we are really excited about it. I think, you know, this project itself is like our annual project that we are going to do it annual wise.
Indeed, very interesting. And everyone, I think, he has announced it and made it clear that from 1st November onwards, the Save Your Dates, like their exhibition is going to be live in person in Dharamsala. So,
oh yeah, you can also buy it. Last year we tried our auction thing, I think, but this year I think since our organization, our collective is not so, what to say right now, not so well established, financial wise we are also facing a little bit problems. So that's why we are going to sell the artworks that artists have given to us. And with this, when we sell these artworks, certain amount will be kept by us to, you know, sustain our own collective. And with this money, we will, you know, try to kind of like improvise our Tibetan artists community.
So definitely don't miss your opportunity here. Like, you might not only observe amazing Tibetan artwork by Tibetans themselves, but also be able to get your hands on it, you know. So moving on, Teshnima, like, this is something that has been talked time and again, you know. Even you've mentioned it right now, how artists and their community have not been taken into the mainstream. But of late, I myself, it's my own personal opinion, I see there is some change, like your group are coming up. There are a lot of Tibetan, young Tibetans who have these portfolios as Instagram pages, sharing their artwork.
Yes, yes, yes.
And more recently, the biggest thing that happened was, like you're aware, Tenzi Rikchula, his artwork of mandalas, mapping of Tibet, you know, presented at the Met Museum in New York, is amazing. So how do you think we as a community, you know, as a whole, can bring art to its full potential?
Yeah, starting from the why nowadays there are a lot of certain surge of Tibetan artists, right? So I would say because of the situation of Tibetan community also, because when we came first from Tibet in exile, our main focus was not about doing artworks or something like that, right? Our main focus was like to survive. Mm-hmm. Our main priority was that during that time, which is understandable, right? You know, and then moving forward, as our community grew, I think financial-wise also, nowadays, a lot of people in our communities are being stable in financial-wise. And I think this kind of gives people the time to reflect on their culture and kind of show how to show their art, how to show their these stories through art, right? And that's why I think a lot of Tibetans, especially the younger artists, I would say, you know, are coming up a lot. And to improvise this artist things, I think sometimes it is a funny thing also, but then, you know, I would say criticize our work more, you know, in a way. If you create this kind of debates, if you engage more through art, it doesn't always have to be like a good feedback also. You can give us bad feedback also. We will take it. If you give good advice also, we will take it. Because as an artist, you know, before taking feedbacks from others, we have already given a lot of feedbacks to ourselves. We are already criticizing ourselves a lot. So it's like, I don't think it's a bad thing. If we do this kind of debates, it's like, we both are helping each other, like, you know, you are helping me and I'm also helping you to think something new, and you're also giving me a new perspective to think about my own work, which actually will, what to say, encourage me to do something new also, right? And I think, yeah, main thing is like be engaged with the artists, talk about it. Something like that, I think.
So,
I mean, it's not really a big thing, like small things. There are like big things that you can do, but then I think on a ground level, these are the smallest things that you can do. Every individual can do, right? Every individual can appreciate an art. He might say, this one is good, this one is bad. This kind of things, you know, kind of like starts this kind of movement, I think.
Definitely. So, I wanted to stop it, but a question came to my mind, you know, like, it's very interesting of how, you know, we have young Tibetans like you, yourself, bringing out Tibetan artwork to other forms, but we have our own traditional artwork. I mean, there's a thangka there itself, doma, you know, green tara, we call it. So I've been hearing, I think many people have also known about the fact that these sort of artworks are declining in some sense. Like, what is your take on this, you know? Because honestly, see, like, I see some of your artwork, your friends, like, there is some fusion element, there is definitely there. I mean, you gave me some stickers of yourself.
Yes,
Tibetan clouds motif, everything is there.
Yes. Just like I told you, you know, during my childhood time also, my father used to, if you see our parents giving drawings guidebook to their children. It will be like, you know, face posture, shading, and all these things. During my childhood time, my father was giving me this thangka, you know, drawing guidebooks. So for a lot of Tibetan kids, I think watching these thangkas, especially in, I would say, since I'm a visual artist, I'm more inclined toward visual, right? So we would see a lot of thangkas during and you know, everywhere you go, cultural temples, wherever you go in religious sites, you will see a lot of thangkas. It kind of like, you know, kind of naturally, you know, has it is in us, I think, you know. And since I think nowadays a lot of students, a lot of children, they are not able to connect with it, because I think Sanghas are like, it's a, it's my take on it, right? I cannot say about other people's. I would say Sangha is like a, telling a story of gods. And in a lot of Western, what should I say, Western, I think, in modern arts, you can actually tell a story about yourself, what you are going through. So with our current situation in exile, you know, with Sangha, you cannot tell what you are going through, right? Mm-hmm. As an exile, as a Tibetan, the feelings that you are going through. I think from Sangha, you cannot tell these kind of stories. Yep. So in a way, I think these younger generations are trying to want a different type of medium, or should I say style, to express their feelings, right? So that's why I think they are more getting into this kind of Western art, I would say. And if, like, you know, and Sangha as a traditional artwork also should get a respect that it needs, you know. I really admire Sanghas. In my artworks also, you can see this kind of like aesthetics where you will find this color aesthetic that I might take from Sangha. Sometimes composition-wise, I might take some inspiration from Sangha. I really do take a lot of inspirations from Sangha because it has been with me since my childhood, right? So I cannot deny that fact. So yeah.
This is very interesting, you know, like young artists, you know, even though they try to tell their story through a different medium, our own traditional artwork, be it Sangha, is the source of inspiration to it. So very interesting, Tashni Manna. I would have definitely liked to carry this conversation more, but we are running short on time. So finally, I would like to ask you whether you have any messages to our fellow Tibetans worldwide and the plethora of Tibet supporters who continue to stand in solidarity with us Tibetans.
Okay, so for all my Tibetan peoples and the supporters, I would say keep supporting our cause, and especially to artists also. Since I'm an artist, you know, I would say to all the artists, singers, be it writer, be it poet or whatever, because since the history, you know, in history also you will find a lot of these things that we can see, hear, or watch, right? All these things are because of one kind of like crazy artist who was doing his thing, and fortunately for us, we can now see his works and think about, okay, know that these kind of things has happened in history, right? And we as an individual who is living right now are learning from these kind of things. So as a Tibetan, I think, you know, and for our resistance also, art can really help us a lot, since we are seeing, we want to bring get our country back by non-violence things, right? And I think if you really want to do something by non-violence, art is the best kind of, like, you know, I would say, so it's like a political thing, I could say. It might be a best strategy to use, you know, thing to take, get back our country like that. And yeah, keep supporting us. And moreover, keep supporting artists of your own country, whoever is creating something, you know. I mean, little supports is also matters, you know. It doesn't have to be like, now you have to do big things. Just saying, you know, someone who is doing and drawing also, you can tell them, hey, you are doing great works. This kind of also small things also inspires that person a lot, you know. Yeah, something like that. Thank you.
So with that, Tashni Manna, like, there is a saying that, you know, a picture, for that matter, an art speaks louder than words. So on that note, I believe all our audience who would be tuning in would know much more about what Tibetan artists are doing.
Yes.
And we from the Foundation for Nonviolent Alternatives thank you and your team, you know.
Thank you so much.
Khatop Collective, for taking time and coming to our show. And please don't forget, if you want to know more about them, they have their website, their email contacts, and especially their Instagram channel. So do follow them. And thank you so much, Tashni Manna.
Thank you.
For more updates and videos by FNVA, click on the link and please subscribe to our channel. Thank you for watching.